Okay, we now convene the March 9, 2010 meeting of the City of Daytona Beach Special Magistrate Proceedings. I have reviewed the minutes of February 9, 2010 and approved them. Those representatives for the City of Daytona Beach will testify at the hearing's proceedings. Please step forward and be sworn.
Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, and you're nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay, am I supposed to sign the satisfaction this is?
Oh, yes.
Okay, we are going to go directly to those matters that have already been resolved between the respondents and the city. So let me have the representative for cases 33 through 39 and this representative for the City of Daytona Beach come forward.
No.
Okay. On behalf of the respondent, we have Mr. Hughes, who is the attorney. Representing the respondent, it's my understanding that you two have discussed this matter with the city, and the agreement for the time being is to continue these matters in their entirety for a period of 2 months to give you an opportunity to try to resolve it. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right, so I'm continuing this then to the May meeting. Is everyone hearing?
Yes.
All right, then with regard to, and I'm not consolidating these cases at present. I don't know enough about them to know if that's a prudent thing to do. So I am consolidating cases 33, 34. Cases 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, and 39 in their entirety to the May 11, 2010 meeting. Does that take care of it?
Yes, sir.
That's everything.
Okay.
Thank you.
Gentlemen. Next item I'm going to move to is case number 9, Mr. Don Williams. Robert Williams.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing? Sure.
Do you solemnly swear that you're nothing but the truth, and the truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
My understanding, you have a progress report for
me. Yes. I spoke with Inspector Sykes, and I basically advised him of the current situation there. I was able to, after about a month, remove the tenants and those particular tenants from those particular areas, and at this time I was able to get in there and basically take a good look at that area, and it was as described by the inspectors, and I showed Mr. Sykes pictures that I've taken once I did get in to review the property, and I also showed him after pictures that I've done at this point where I've cleaned up that area. I've had that area cleaned up. I've had the holes that were in the walls. I've had those repaired with new drywall, new just the whole gamut taken care of in that respect. I also, because the stove, they had totally destroyed the stove. I guess the inside of the stove wasn't working, but the top was. So I purchased a new stove, and I showed them pictures of all those different things and the processes of what I've done at this point in reference to the property. I realized that this is a progress report, and the actual date of compliance is May the 5th. So, I mean, I'm in tune to reaching that date at this juncture. So I think a lot of progress has been made in that juncture.
Mr. Inspector, do you want to be heard?
No, I'd just like to get in and walk the property.
All right, so the two of you take care of that, and good luck, and hopefully you'll be in compliance by May 5th.
All right, sounds good.
If you have a problem with that, get in touch with the inspector and let him know.
Sure.
Good luck, kid.
All right, thanks. All right.
All right, case call. Number all right. 19. The
Yes, sir. Good morning. Mark Watts with Cobb Cole, 351 East New York Avenue, Suite 200, DeLand.
You're counsel for the Coca-Cola bottle?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
It's my understanding you conferred with the city and we have a stipulation or at least an agreement as to how this is to be handled. And that is that we're stipulating the non-compliance. And how about a compliance statement?
I don't know if we're ready to set a compliance date yet. I know they are in talks and working with permits and licensing and zoning on getting it done. So I think maybe at this point, just non-compliance next cut off, and we'll see where we are.
I think it's premature to set a compliance date at this point in time. This is an activity that the corporate offices in Atlanta just found out about. We're meeting at 10 o'clock with the zoning staff to sit down and start working towards a resolution of it. So.
Talking about something that's going to take days to take care of, weeks or months?
It's a fairly extensive clearing that we've got to go back and resolve.
All right, so no one's ready to give me a compliance date right now?
I think a status report would probably be the most appropriate at the next cutoff.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so I'm looking for a progress report next meeting?
Yes.
All right, based upon the stipulation of the parties, I'm going to go ahead and find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Order the respondent to return at the April 13, 2010 meeting for the purpose of giving me a progress report, and at that point in time, we'll establish a compliance statement. Okay, good luck to you.
Thank you.
All right, now we'll return to our regular agenda. Lien review number one, 610 McCormick Street, Atlantic Pacific Incorporated.
My name is Kerry Bones. I do. Yes.
All right. Apparently, you are looking at a lien in the amount of $1,434.06 that you requested relief from. So, what's the basis of your request?
Okay. I do not live in the country, and I didn't receive the citations, but what? From what I understand, the citations are that I've rented out the place without a license, and I have never collected 10 cents worth of rent from that house. And the other citation was that the water was turned off, and I believe that it was turned off in April. And as soon as I found out that the water was turned off, I paid the water bill and got the water turned right back on.
$1,434.06. Are you proposing that I consider something less than that, or are you asking for it to be removed altogether?
Whatever you could do. I've never been to one of these meetings before. I'm not really sure what would be appropriate.
Let's say the city.
Mr. McKelvey, Mr. Bones finally got in touch with me when he got back in the country. But I would like to stipulate that this residence had basically a squatter in it. It's a problem. And yes, there was no water at the time, but the circumstances were that it also had appearance issues that I cited before. And in as much as I did call a number that was in the window and notify them of this in advance, far beyond the date that he finally got back with me, basically the date that it started. There was a phone number on a rental for sale situation, and I called him and left a message for him as he was out of the country. So I don't know if that message was delivered or not. Did your mom ever tell you about it?
Yes, she. My mother's 80 years old, and yes, she did tell me that you called. She didn't quite understand what you were telling her. I mean, by the time she explained it to me, I didn't understand what she was, what I was in violation of exactly.
But I left my name and number, and we never got any contact. I would have to admit you.
Yes. Yes. Correct.
Until several months later, sir. So the city's contention that notification was at least verbally given, and that maybe he did not receive the documents, but the documents were sent. And if you recall, Mr. McKill's an attorney showed up here on his behalf one day and spoke to us and never came back. Do you remember that? At our, I think it was the meeting back in September.
All right, so as I understand it, at all times material to this particular item, you did own the property?
Yes.
All right, did you have a property manager in charge of it?
No, what I did was so that the place wouldn't, in the assumption that the place wouldn't get broken into, I let somebody live there with the understanding that they were supposed to pay the electric and the water. Well, they never paid the electric and the water.
Okay, and when are we in agreement as to a date in which Mr. Bones clearly was aware that this matter was pending?
The date that I called his mother was the date that I opened the case because it was in the window. So I'm saying
that's back in April of 2009?
That was back in, it's 4-6-2-9. I accidentally screened and I called the number to hopefully have to not write any letters or maybe get something done verbally and notify her to have him call. And she said she would. She clearly understood me when I told her that. Gave her my phone number, information. No, she probably didn't understand the gist of the violations, no, but I didn't get into it that much. And then, of course, I finally did hear something from him, but we had an attorney show up first in his behalf for the hearings. And he never got back with us, never heard anything. And I think if you remember, you said you were even going to try and get in touch with that. Mr. Gibson, I believe it was?
Gambert.
So we never heard anything back. And then I finally got a call from him for a reinspection. I went over, and he was getting things taken care of. And that was finally got a hold of me on 11-16-2009.
All right. And does the city have anything that it would suggest as far as any kind of a lien compromise or looking for the full amount of the lien?
Under the circumstances, Mr. McKelvey, the city is not going to be giving any information regarding any potential lien.
Under the circumstances, what does that mean?
Notification, lack of attorney showing up, not being in touch with us, not getting back with us. It was frustrating for both of us, I think. Spent some time on it. It was a complaint coming in from the neighborhood. There was a squatter in there. It was occupied. It was a situation where it was a remedy, but it happened.
Mr. McKelvey, if I could just say, I learned from the minutes that on the meeting, the September 8th meeting, where Mr. Gambert did come in and Mr. Ellison excused him, it was noted that we were advised that the property was going into foreclosure. Now, if that's the reason, perhaps that may have been unattended to.
The foreclosure on me? No.
Okay, what day was Mr. Gambert here at the meeting?
I'm showing September 8th, 2009 minutes indicate Mr. Gambert was here.
When was the property brought into compliance?
Closed 11-18-2009.
When did the lien start running?
When it was 10-13?
Order imposing fine lien, $100 per day.
Actually, the lien was effective November 4th, 2009.
Oh, it went back.
But when did it start? When? On November 10th, we entered an order imposing fine lien.
Pardon? November 4th.
That's when it began.
And it came into compliance.
November 18th.
Okay, you had a lawyer here in September, so clearly at that point in time, you had to be aware of everything that you had to deal with. And it wasn't until after the order imposing fine was put in place that then you brought the property into compliance?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Your request is denied. All right, so the lien amount stays at $1,434.06. And just for your information, that amount probably won't even cover the administrative expenses the city went to in dealing with this property. And unfortunately for you, if you're going to have a tenant occupy your property, please keep in mind that's still ultimately your responsibility. Okay, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Lien review number two, Arthur Crump.
Arthur's getting his paperwork, Mr. LaKelja. These three cases, 541 Wallace, 420 Maple, 418 Maple, are all owned by the same gentleman, and the city and the applicant have come to an agreement. If you would like to combine these, or do you wish to take them separately, sir? They're pretty much pretty high.
Is there probably cases 2, 3, and 4?
Yeah, lien reviews 2, 3, and 4, sir. Arthur Crump, he's the owner of the property. They're right next to each other.
Of course, since it's all one owner, the total amount will affect all properties. So,
okay. Are all these properties now in compliance?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Okay, Mr. Crump. Will you please step forward and be sworn?
Raise your right hand, please. You solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
State your name.
Arthur Crump is my name.
Okay, Mr. Crump, you've accumulated quite a pile of liens. So, if you would please, could you explain, first off, how these liens got to this ridiculous amount? And then what the cause for the delay was in bringing these properties in?
Well, my understanding, from the beginning, I think it really, the property 420 Maple Street was, I think it's really a mistake. Because during the time of the demolition of the house, they tore it down in one day from the time they filed the permit. This was the company that did that particular building, but I had already paid for a remodeling building permit, which was in November November the 29th. This was I had pulled a permit for plastering and doing repairs, but then I had a company to remove the building after that.
First off, are we talking about 541 Wallace Street? Oh,
no, sir. That's
Arthur failed to call in for re-inspections on some of them. Others he let go and took too long to get into compliance versus permits.
But Arthur made an offer, the city's going to agree to it for $5,000 for all three cases, sir.
Is that acceptable to you?
Yes, sir.
We're talking all three cases?
Yes, sir.
All right, well, I guess the first thing I'm doing is I'm going to go ahead and consolidate cases 2, 3, and 4 for the purpose of this morning's proceedings. And after having heard from the respondent, after having heard from the city that there are some extenuating circumstances, and more importantly, after having heard that the respondent and the city have come to some resolution, that in accordance with the party's stipulation, I'm going to go ahead and order that the liens in cases 2, 3, and 4 be reduced to the sum of $5,000. Is this going to be paid within 30 days?
Okay. Can I get 60 days on this?
This is agreeable to 60, sir.
Something's being paid within 60 days. Now, I think it defeats the purpose of bringing old cases before me to allow these things to revert what is understandably a peculiar looking number.
Yes, sir.
So my point is, what I'm inclined to do, or what I'd like to hear, especially if we're going to hear situations like this, is if the respondent doesn't come into compliance with a reasonable amount, taking into consideration the totality of the circumstances might be for this lien amount to revert to. In other words, I don't want the city looking silly because there's a $700,000 lien out there for whatever reasons. So does the city want to be heard on some sort of alternative, or do you just want it to revert back to the $700,000 if the money isn't paid?
We got one moment on that.
Yes, sir.
Mr. McKelvey, we believe that's a great point, and we're with you 100%. There's no reason for it to revert back to a $750,000 lien. The property, as I discussed with the inspectors, appears to be, and that's all of them together, is worth approximately $50,000 at best. And so the inspectors are asking that reverts to no greater than $50,000.
Okay, do you understand what we're doing?
Yes.
We're talking about Mr. Crump?
Yes, sir.
All right, you've asked for 60 days to pay this $5,000, and we're happy to give it to you, and we most certainly hope you're able to pay.
Yes, sir.
But at the same time, just to kind of create some impetus here for you to want to make sure you come into compliance, typically, if you don't pay, what happens is the lien stays there in the full amount.
Okay.
A $700,000 lien on properties, wherever your properties may be worth. I don't know what they're worth, and I'm not here to insult anybody by guesstimating what they may be worth. But I doubt they're worth $700,000. I think it's fair to say that that's probably above and beyond what the fair market value of these three properties may be. So what I'm suggesting to the city is an alternative amount, less than $700,000, for me to consider imposing in the event you fail to pay. Now, what I'm asking you is, I've already heard from the city as far as what their suggestion is. They're suggesting that the lien amount be amended to read $50,000 in the event of a default under this stipulation. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. Do you want to be heard on an alternative number that you think would be reasonable, given the circumstances, in the event that you're unable to perform and pay this $5,000 within the 60 days?
Well, I would say if I don't pay the $5,000 within 60 days, then can you, instead of doing 50, can you make it 20?
And why would you suggest I do that?
Well, I believe I will be able to come up with the money, but I was just trying to make sure that...
Well, let me explain why I asked. I'm really not trying to be difficult, but they come up with a logical explanation as to why they would suggest $50,000.
Right, yes,
and that is that they correlate it in some fashion to perhaps the value or assessed value of the properties.
Right.
So that logic I can take a hold of and appreciate when it comes to the $50,000 they're talking about.
Right.
Okay, you suggested 20. Why should I consider 20? What's the basis for that other than the fact that you just want a lesser number?
Well, I just a number that that if I don't come up with the five, that'll give me a better chance to come up at a longer, so many months to come up with the 20. But I'm sure I'll be able to come up with the five.
Feeling Solomon-esque here today, so all right. Do I need a ruling here yet?
I believe you reduced it to 5,000. We're just working on the
okay. In accordance with the stipulation of the parties, and I've already consolidated cases 2, 3, and 4. Reducing the total liens on all three cases to the sum of $5,000 to be paid within 60 days.
Okay.
If the respondent fails to pay that $5,000 within 60 days, then the lien amount will be the sum of $35,000.
Okay.
Smack dab in the middle between what you suggested and what they've asked for.
Yes, sir.
I'm hoping that's an amount that's close enough for you to refinance it if you find yourself in that situation.
Yes, sir.
And
okay.
Just for the city's benefit, that's my logic. So there you go.
Just one clarification. If that $35,000 is then put into effect, would that start accruing interest?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't intend for it to be a fixed number. I intend it for it to be a real number. It wouldn't be a real number if the city didn't get the benefit of the present value of the money, which means the inclusion of interest. Okay. Are we all clear?
Yes, sir.
All right. If you get close on your 60 days, and you might be a day or two off, just call the city.
I'm yes, sure sir.
I don't want to do
it. Okay. All
whatever
right.
You do, just don't ignore them because okay. You will have reduced the lien amount, but your
yes,
property
sir.
Will still be in jeopardy.
Okay. All right.
Good luck,
okay.
Sir.
Thank you.
Okay. Joseph Burton Hardy III, Joyce L. Wright, and Juliet Massey.
Mr. Gelder, that's compliance agreement.
Good morning. I do.
Okay, this matter is here for the interest of the fund. Am I to understand it's now in compliance?
As of yesterday afternoon, compliance.
Okay. Respondent want to be heard on this matter?
No, sir. I'm in compliance. Thank you for your time.
Not a problem. Thank these guys. They're going to work with you. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and note that Case 01-09-02 is now in compliance, and with that, this particular matter is concluded. Okay, thank you, Mr. Hardy.
Thank
good
you.
Case number 2, Harmon Investments, LLC, and Cortez Investment Group, Incorporated, John K. Bucks, as a person and Worldwide Chicago branch. All
morning.
Of that
morning.
Is you.
I do. Richard Harmon.
All right. I guess I'm supposed to get a progress report.
We're still waiting on a permit from City of Dayton.
What's
inside?
What do you know about?
I just checked this morning with Suzette Meeks, and from what I could see on the computer, what she showed me, there has been no permit applied for.
Applied for?
Correct.
Okay.
Plans have been submitted. Larry Bennett's an engineer.
Okay, did you hand these plans in yourself?
Yes.
Who did you hand them to?
I hand them into the city office down there.
Okay, and did you fill out a permit application?
The permit application was filled out whenever we first handed them in, but they keep getting revised. So I guess I asked Colleen Miles there this morning, and she said there was three revisions that had to be completed. The stormwater and that permit stuff's already getting being issued. But they have to have that before they resubmit them, because you got to have them permits in
progress
first.
Progress report is seriously lacking in clarity. Okay, there is or is not a permit. He's telling me there was a permit application, and now we're at the point where we're submitting plans that have been revised.
Mr. McKelton, just for my own edification this morning, I went down to talk to Suzette. She popped it up on the computer. There's nothing there. The most recent permit, and this is just a quick cursory check, was roofing. In order for me to see if Colleen is dealing with something like that, I'd have to talk to her specifically. I have heard there is a permit applied for, but there was nothing showing on the computer, and I just went down there this morning to check it. If you would prefer, we could hold this off in a few minutes. I could run down and make sure exactly where they're at.
Mr. Kelch, I believe Ms. Ellison stepped out to see about bringing Ms. Miles up to try and get some clarification. If we can just, if we start with Ms. Miles, we can just maybe set this back for one case and allow Ms. Miles to come up to try and ask.
Well, this goes back to May of 08, and I was expecting a lot more clarification now than I've received. So, Mr. Hartman, if you don't mind, have a seat for a second. We're going to let the city find out what's going on the city side.
Actually, I think.
Okay.
I just got off the phone calling. He did apply for it, was denied, and they're waiting on him for more site plan revisions that he's supposed to submit, and he has not done that. Colleen's got off the phone with her, and that's what she's in here. So
this is the third time. Yeah.
It's been denied, so they're waiting on him.
Well, it ain't denied. It was, I had three revisions on this one. The first one had, like, I don't know, they wanted eight or nine revisions.
Revisions were denied, and he had to resubmit what he's been told to do.
Where are we on the resubmission process?
I talked to Larry yesterday, and he's ready to resubmit them again, so.
Once these plans are submitted, once they're approved, once a permit is issued, how long is it going to take to commit compliance?
In my opinion? Well, with what I know Mr. Harmon's background in construction, he should be able to complete it, I would say, in no longer than 30 days.
What's that, Mr. Harmon?
Well, I'd like to see 60 days. But,
I would like to see Christmas in March. That ain't happening.
Yeah, well.
May of 08, did you hear me mention that date?
Mm-hmm. But then again, at the same time, we can't control subcontractors.
We've been with each other for 2 years almost now. Okay. All right, well, all levity aside, I'm going to go ahead and continue this matter one more time to our April 13, 2010 meeting. Do you want to be heard?
Well, I just want to point out, I think you already have a May 11 compliance, and I'd like to ask you about the compliance.
This is progress report.
Well, then I guess I'll just leave it alone. You've already got that looming. Thank you. Appreciate that. So you already have your compliance date in place. So I would suggest you talk to your engineer, your architect, or whomever, and tell them that they need to get on the stick, because I'm forewarning you right now, compliance date is May
11th.
Well, that'll be three days shy of 2 years now. So my point is, you just really need to meet that compliance date.
Right, David, but I got a question. I can't go out there and start working without a permit.
Let me tell you.
And if every time you throw it into the city and they kick it back to you, my hands are tied.
Well, I certainly would take that into consideration in the event you're unable to come into compliance. And if that's what you're experiencing, I suggest you document it as much as you possibly can, and I'll certainly hear it.
Okay.
Because if you're unable to come into compliance, and if you're able to demonstrate to me it was because of foot dragging on the part of the city, I'll hear it.
Okay.
I'll hear it, and I'll take it into consideration. All right? You know, but in any event, that's all I'm saying. I don't know that there hasn't been plenty of foot dragging on your side of the ledger. So let's not go throwing stones too quickly.
Well, right.
So all that having been said, let's come into compliance on May, by May 5th or whatever the date is. And since we're coming down to crunch time, if what you're suggesting is you're experiencing delays because of the city, if I were you, I'd keep some pretty careful records regarding that, so that in the event you end up in a jam, you can explain to me what's happened over the course of the last 60, 90 days.
Right.
Before anyone should start considering imposition of fines.
Okay.
Good luck to you.
Mm-hmm.
Case number 3, Kelly Doherty.
Yes, I do.
All right, Mr. Doherty, have we made any progress on this water bill at all?
Well, the water's been turned on. Now, how it's been turned on, I don't know. They came out, I told you about them pouring concrete down into the water thing last time. Shortly after our meeting here, I've been talking with some influential people and Pastor Varga, police chaplain, and asking them, about what I should do and how I should handle this. And I came over to the house, and they were digging up the front yard, and they put in a new meter. All new pipes. We're talking about something to do with leaks. And I went to the supervisor, and I told him, I said, you do realize the water's off here? And he said, no, it's not anymore. It's been restored. It's been ordered to be restored. I've been trying to find out since then if somebody paid it or what happened. I don't know. I'm totally just... I'm still in my financial dilemma. I do have somebody that's curious about moving in and taking over the utilities. If this situation is not about, my delinquent bill, or whether I should have water restored to the house, and you ordered that I have nobody and nobody live there and not do any rentals, so I can't do that. But as far as the water being restored, I have no idea. Somebody did that. Somebody's paying it.
Yeah, can the city tell me what's going on?
Mr. Kelly, this is actually the first I've heard of this particular situation you're speaking of. I did a reinspection on the property this morning. In addition to that, on 3/5, I checked with the utilities department, and the meter was pulled. The supply has been plugged and capped and all that fun stuff. There is no service there. There's a $2,000 lien there, which is accruing interest. And as of this morning, as you can see through the lovely pictures, there's being power obtained illegally, in addition to the not having water on the property. So there's clearly...
That's all disconnected from the pole.
So the power meter is missing.
The meter is gone.
That's illegal power.
The other picture will show the meter gone with the porch light on, so obviously there's a discrepancy there. The city is moving forward with this. I'm recommending $25 a day in position of a fine to be capped at $10,000.
Let's say the respondent.
What about the water's turned on, been turned off for a month? What's that?
I have no idea. From the channel, it's not. Or at least it's not legally.
There's a whole new meter put in where they've taken the other one out, and it's turned on. It's not locked.
According to utility department, 3/5, no water, no meter.
You can go out there and look at it. There's a whole new meter box and everything put in there. I'm not debating anything. I'm just saying, it's there. It's turned on. I asked the man about it, and he said it was ordered restored. I didn't put the new meter box in there. There's no tags on it. It's not locked.
What about the electrical?
I didn't even notice that. Like I said, I thought it was disconnection from the pole. I'm not even staying over there. I'm going by and feeding my dogs.
Who's occupying the house?
The dogs. You ordered me not to stay there.
Did you rewire that pole?
No. That was all messed up before, and they disconnected it from the pole.
Okay, well, if you're telling me the water's running and it's being suggested that the power's on, and you're telling me you're not occupying the property.
I'm saying that the water's running, and I've gone over there and used the water and what have you, But I'm not supposed to be living there because, according to them, the water's off. I just go by there in the daytime.
Let's say you don't have any power.
Well, I go over there and for sure look at it. But I just go in and water the dogs and get out of there.
Where's the light? Mr. Gonzalez, I'd like to make a suggestion. Let's push this case to the end of the agenda. Give me a minute to run downstairs to the utility department, find out what's what.
What is it we're hoping to find out from the utility department?
Well, I'm giving him the opportunity. He says the water is on. My last check was on 3-5.
As far as this case is concerned, if the water's on legally, what does that mean as far as the case is concerned? Is he not in compliance?
He still has no power. It still has no legal power. The property still has growth issues with the grass and things of that nature. The roof is still in disrepair. So the water really isn't a deal breaker.
The roof has a new roof on it. It's got some leaves on it now. I can clean those off. I don't know what you mean by disrepair.
Okay.
What I'm trying to say is we knew that the water meter was out. It was filled with concrete. Now there's a whole new meter in there and it's turned on. And why would they do that for no reason? I mean, I'm not arguing with him, but you can go by there and look at it. I question the people. I don't know what else to do. I was told bring it up at this meeting.
All right. Well, Mr. Doherty, I think you'll agree I've been about as patient as I possibly could be with your circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And having been said, there has to be some closure somewhere along the line here.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, right now, I'm hearing more questions than I am answers. But then I'm going to give everybody an opportunity to clarify what exactly is going on. But at the same time, I'm bringing this to a close. So, here's what we're doing. I'm going to order the respondent be in compliance by April 6, 2010. Failing that, a fine in the amount of $25 per day to go into effect and continue each day thereafter until the property is in compliance.
Okay.
Now, that means if your water's on and it's legal, then you took care of that.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get your power on legally, then you've taken care of that.
Okay.
The maintenance issues, you got a month to deal with. You tell them it's a new roof, fine.
Mm-hmm.
But my point is, it's now crunch time, and we seem to be getting further away from closure on this than here.
Mm-hmm.
So we are now going to be in compliance by April 6, 2010. Or there will be a fine in the amount of $25 per day going into effect and continuing every day thereafter until you're in compliance. And please remember, if you think you've got everything done, don't forget to call the inspector. It ain't over until the inspector's done his final inspection.
I will do.
Okay.
But can I find out about this water issue? I mean, I don't want to be getting some big bill again, a hefty bill, and being accused of something that I didn't do. I mean, like I said.
All I can tell you to do is talk to the water department about that.
Okay. I took it on the word of the supervisor, and I thought somebody might have taken a bill for me. I had a couple of people that had offered, but it was quite extensive.
What the city has before me,
mm-hmm.
I need to concern myself with water, power, anything other than what I've addressed already.
The only suggestion I would have would be for him to go down to the utility building and see if he can.
Very good.
Can find out what's going on.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Okay, I'll do that right now.
Good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Case number 4, Ronald Mitchell and Jacqueline Babs Mitchell. Anyone here on behalf of the respondent? All right, not seeing a respondent, we'll say the city.
They were supposed to be in compliance by 3-3. I went out and did an inspection. There was still outside storage. There was still a roof with tar paper only. I was out of town until this morning. I received a phone call while out of town. Message left that the roof was done. I have not had a chance to go out and verify that. So the only option is to amend it. to the next meeting so I can check it. Yeah.
Sort of. Okay. So you asked that the roof to be done, and you asked the outside storage to be removed.
Correct.
And now you've gotten an 11th-hour call saying everything's in compliance.
Correct.
And you're suggesting I amend it to give more time.
Correct.
Well, then I'm going to do what I just did for Mr. Doherty. I'm going to amend our previous order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until April 6, 2010 to be in compliance. Failing that, the respondent will be fined the sum of $50 per day to commence April 6, 2010 and continue each day thereafter until the property is in compliance. I trust you'll let the respondent know that this job needs to be done or else a fine will automatically go into effect.
Yes, sir.
Very good. Thank you.
We have an automatic fine for the outside storage. That was the.
But I'm talking about the roof.
Just the roof? Okay.
Well, hang on a second. Okay. So are you here looking for. Okay, no, I'm sorry. That'll be the entire case.
Okay.
So let's try to clean this up a little bit. So that's the entire case with the outside storage and the roof in compliance by April 6, 2010, or fined $50 per day. Case number 5, Joyce C. Perry. Don't see a respondent. What say the city?
Mr. Kelge, I'd like to amend. Good progress. A permit was pulled on 215, so good progress. They're all working on it. I'd like to amend, sir, to the next cutoff.
All right. Based on the report of our inspector, I'll go ahead and amend our previous order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until April 6, 2010 to compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 6, Ernest Deloach Jr. and Dolores Riles.
Good morning.
Good morning.
State
your name, please.
Dolores Riles.
Raise your hand. Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
All right. We are here for imposition of a fine. Mr. Inspector, what's the status of compliance?
If you recall, Mr. Kelge, I gave them time to paint this. Not really much needed to be done. They were not in compliance last meeting, and I continued to inform them, having not heard from them. I did call him 2 days ago and left him a message. He got back from me. He said he was very surprised that it wasn't done and was sorry that it hadn't been done, but he himself indicated it was really just a simple job. So I'm really not in favor of amending this at this time, but he does have a representative here. This is the one you said, well, I don't think you can get it done. The painting job in such a short period, but it definitely now has gone 2 months since that.
All right. How long would it take to finish compliance?
2 days. But that's cut off for a week, whichever you like.
Okay. What's saying is wrong?
Okay. excuse me. First of all, I'm from out of town. And my brother and his wife just had a baby. And the baby is sick, so that's why he's not here this morning. But whoever he spoke with that was supposed to do the work did not do the work. I came in Sunday. I have called a friend of mine who has gotten in touch with JT Paintings, who's, from what I was told this morning, is going to start painting this afternoon.
When are they supposed to be done?
Now, I do not know. I mean, that's just what I was told this morning, that they would start.
How big a job it looks like?
Well, I mean, I'm in agreement. Yeah, I'm in agreement. It's not that big. It's just a
big.
Just a
trim.
Okay.
Painted surfaces in the trim. It's figured out.
All right. I'm going to amend our previous order of noncompliance to allow the respondent to come into compliance by April 6, 2010. Failing that, a fine in the amount of $25 per day will go into effect and continue each day thereafter until the property is in compliance. All right. So we've dealt with this long enough. We're giving you time to get it done. I'm happy to hear that you've taken control of the situation and got somebody out there. That's great. I'm told it should be a couple days. All right, so we're giving you a month to get it done, but we're going to have some finality here. So please keep in mind and convey to your brother that it has to get done by April 6th, and Please don't forget to call the inspector when it's done.
Okay.
Because it's not done until I have a piece of paper that says compliance. And you don't want fines to run out of control because somebody
okay.
forgot about the paperwork.
Okay.
Right, good luck to you.
All right. Thank you.
Case number 7, Mohammed M. Kabaze.
Good morning.
Do you solemnly swear the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Your name, please?
Mohammed Kabaze.
All right. Mr. Inspector, the matter is here for the imposition of a fine. What's the status of compliance?
The property remains in non-compliance. These pictures are from last week. There's a squatter on the property. We played phone tag twice. He just returned back into the country, I believe. Other than that, there's been no contact, no progress on the property whatsoever.
And how long did it take to come to compliance?
Actually, we're here for the position of the firm. But it could be brought into compliance within a week.
Okay, what say Mr.
Kabaze? I purchased the property late last year. I have happened to leave the country right after I purchased the property. During my absence, there was some letters received. The person who I left in charge has contacted the police department and put a no trespassing request. And it was done on 12/10/2009 with the note I have is Captain Skipper and Penny Miller, and these two phone numbers. The problem that we have is with the homeless. I mean, we kick one person out, somebody else moves in. And the repair has been corrected a couple of times, but whenever somebody leaves, another person comes in and they take his place. We are at this time in the process of getting the plans prepared for renovation on the project. The final plans will be ready, the final construction plans will be ready in May, and we are anticipating the construction permit to be in June.
What is it you plan on doing at this place? Remodeling it?
Remodeling, yes, sir. May I?
Yes. This is the property at this time. I'm going to show these to the inspector. We'll take a look at it.
At this time, we are in the process of getting a demolition permit to get some more information on the structure itself before we continue with the plans.
So, when do you hope to have a construction permit?
If we get the demolition permit at this time, we probably think that the plans will be ready in May. And the construction permit is probably in June or early July.
All right, gentlemen, does that look like the real deal?
The plans do. The city would like to put a couple of requirements on this. One, this property needs to be secured to city standards, because clearly it's not, especially if you still have squatters coming back and forth. Security property city standards, have it officially signed up for the trespass website program, because we haven't got any notification that the property was on there. And I need a project report within 30 days.
And we need trash hauled out the exterior maintained.
Absolutely.
The exterior, actually, I do not even have a key to the building anymore. We have changed the key a couple of times, and the key has been changed. So that's what's the purpose of trying to get the demolition, because as long as there is some way in, and there's a roof, somebody will get in. So we're hoping to get at least the partial demolition done so we can get further study on the structure.
You hope to have the building demolished?
Not the whole building. We're doing partial demolition in there. So we're doing the roof and the floor and a couple of walls.
Just because of the securing the entire property, meaning boarded up, would alleviate the vacant problem, squatter problem?
Actually, we had, originally it has metal bars on the windows, and the metal bars has been gone. There was, unfortunately...
The demolition you're talking about is going to be right before the construction work.
Well, for the engineer's benefit, he needed more information on the structure itself, and if you will look in these plans... This is the existing building, and the demolition will be done on the interior walls and two of the exterior walls only.
So you're keeping the envelope?
Correct.
I assume you can't secure.
Well, I don't know when this demolition is supposed to take
place.
Well,
I understand. Okay. And when is it you plan on having the demolition done?
I'm applying for the permit within this week. Okay. Partial demolition permit.
All right. Well, let me tell you the way this works. I can accommodate you with regard to your construction schedule, and I'm always happy to hear about progress and properties being improved. But there are requirements along the way that you have to deal with to basically entitle yourself to the kind of time you're looking for. The property has to be secured to city standards. The exterior has to be clean and maintained. You have to go to the police department to swear out the no trespass or fill out the no trespass forms. Now, I understand the kind of demolition you're talking about, and no, I don't think you're required to secure the property once you start knocking walls and the roof down. I don't know how you would secure it at that point. Because I understand what he's doing. He's keeping the envelope and building within the existing.
Correct. And adding some to the property.
All right. Well, until this property is demolished, it has to be secured to city standards, which means every opening boarded up or closed in some fashion.
Every opening is boarded up except the backside where we could not. And that's what, if I can demolish it, I'll demolish it tomorrow. There will be no place for anybody to get in.
You can demolish it whenever you want, but it's going to have to be secured to city standards until you demolish it. So if you're going to demolish it, you need to do it sooner rather than later.
Yes, sir.
You want to avoid the securing.
Yes, sir.
If it's going to take some time to demolish it, then it's going to have to be secured because we don't want the police coming to this property daily just because somebody's decided to camp out there for a while.
Well, the police has been to the property a couple of times.
I know.
And they have... And they have not been able to. I think they have not been able to catch the person in place.
Well, it's kind of like the ocean, it ebbs and flows.
I mean, it's my hands are tied, sir, too. No. I mean, I tried. I filed the report with the police, and I have the no trespassing signs. I boarded everything in the property, and they just keep on coming back.
Okay. Well, all we expect you to do is what is reasonable. And unfortunately, it's your property, so it's your responsibility.
Yes, sir.
And if they keep coming down and tearing down your work, you have to put it back up. That's all there is to it.
Correct, sir.
All right, so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to continue this matter to our May 11, 2010 meeting for a progress report. In the interim, the property is going to be secured to city standards, all trash is going to be removed, and the exterior is going to be maintained. When I'm talking about the exterior, I'm talking about the shrubs, the grass, what have you. I'm not telling you the same building that you're going to be knocking down.
Thank you.
Okay? But this is key here now. And you're going to be required to contact the police department to fill out whatever paperwork is required to go onto their trespass list or what have you.
It's been done, sir.
All right, we'll do it again.
Yes, sir.
So, with that, we'll see you back here on May 11th of 2010. This is March, April, 60 days. We'll see you back here May 11th, 2010.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Now, let me review the bidding. I want to make sure we're all clear on this. Progress report, May 11th. Exteriors to be maintained. All the trash is to be removed. Building secured to city standards. Contacting the police department regarding this trespass warning list or what that means.
Okay.
Well, just some clarification. It was here for an additional fund, so it's being continued. So it's progress report,
I'm not changing the status of the case.
Okay.
It's here right now for the imposition of a fine. We're leaving that status quo until we see. I'm taking Mr. Is it Kabazi?
Kabazi, yes, sir.
I'm taking Mr. Kabazi at his word that he plans on remodeling all this. Until I see that happen, the case is the current posture of the case is here for the imposition of the fine. Once the case is remodeled, that all goes away. Once the house is removed.
Correct. Thank you, sir. What is the time that I have till I get something on the outside? I mean, what if it just happened again? I mean, you know the place, the area, and you know the problem.
The property doesn't take very much to secure.
Can I put a chain link fence on the front?
No.
Is that?
You're going to have to get a permit if you want to put a fence up.
I mean, what kind of a...
Well, you can talk to the city about your alternatives,
okay.
And I suggest you do so.
Thank you, sir.
They may be less onerous than you may think, but the property has to be secured at least until this demolition takes place.
Thank you, sir.
If demolition takes place, that's a different situation.
Thank you.
Good luck to you. Heiko H. Folkerts and Ralph Dernster. Anyone here for the respondent? Or city?
Mr. Cuz, I had one reinspection with the property owner on January 15th. Since then, there has been good progress on the property. However, there are still junk vehicles on the property. There's some exterior issues that need to be taken care of. I'd like to amend this from the imposition of a fine to the next cutoff, just given the opportunity to finish up the last couple of things he has to do. There's been very good progress on this.
All right. Based on our inspector's report, I will go ahead and amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until April 6, 2010 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 10, MTAG, Custodian for Steamer Management, LLC. Anyone here for the respondent? What's in the city?
We're here for imposition of a fine. There's been no contact. The building remains the same. And the city is asking for a $100 a day fine with a cap of $8,000.
Okay, we have a housing inspection report. So what kind of progress has been made on this?
None.
What is this, an apartment?
No, it's a dilapidated structure. That's it. Just sitting there.
And you've gotten no cooperation?
None. No, sir.
And you suggest I impose a fine of $100 per day and cap it at $6,000?
$8,000,
I'm sorry. And how'd you arrive at your $8,000 number?
By the value.
Pardon?
The just value of the property.
So I guess what I'm hearing is that the city's looking for the imposition of a fine, but is prepared to waive any fine above and beyond $8,000.
Correct.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go ahead and order. Respondent be fined the sum of $100 per day, commencing March 3, 2010. And continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or The amount of the fine has reached the sum of $8,000, whichever occurs first. And just so for some clarification, it's the intent here that the fine per se be capped at $8,000. That is without prejudice to the interest that accrues on fines or anything of that nature. Okay, have I said all this the way I'm supposed to? Yes. Very good. Okay. Case number 11. Shawanda Denise Williams.
We do not swear, but we will confirm the truth. We do not swear, but we will confirm the truth.
Can you say your name, please?
Bishop L. Williams.
Yeah. I'm Shawanda Williams.
Okay, do you swear to confirm to tell the truth?
I confirm it.
You yes.
Gotta say yes.
All right, we are here for a progress report on this matter and to set a compliance date. We have a housing inspection report that has a number of items listed. And so, what, if any, progress do we have to report?
We are working on it. We are trying to get... We're trying to get everything in order. We will get back with the people. We're asking for 90 days. We're asking for 90 days. We're trying to get everything in order. So when we get back with them, we can go ahead on and do whatever we got to do.
We're working on the plans, getting plans.
What's
in
the city?
They're working. I spoke with the bishop. They're working on the plans to submit for their permits so they can go ahead and do repair. This building was fire damage, and actually what happened, they stopped making repairs without permits. So we violated them, then we had them secure the building. So now they're in the process of getting the plans and submitting them so they can get the permits to continue the work.
All right, and so can somebody start mapping out for me the timeline here that we're going to be looking at going forward?
I guess really it's based on how soon they can get the plans in so they can get the permits.
Right now it's a financial thing, and we're working on getting the finances.
Is the property secured?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
All
right. So we're requesting 90 days.
90 days for what?
For the plans.
So you expect to have plans submitted to the city of Daytona Beach within 90 days?
That's what we have.
That's the plan.
That's our plans.
Plan is to have the plans.
The plan is to have the plans.
Let's say the city.
As long as it stays secured and the landscape continues to be maintained, I really don't see a problem with it. Like I said, they have been working, trying to get in. They have been in contact with me. So I don't see a problem with that.
All right. Then we will continue this matter once again until the June 8, 2010 meeting. That's 90 days down the road.
Thank you.
For another progress report, and hopefully at that point to set a compliance date. Once you've submitted the plans, I suppose you should be in a better position to be able to give us a reasonable estimate.
Correct.
As to when you think the work will be done.
Correct.
In the interim, the property has to remain secured to city standards, and the exterior has to be maintained. And the property is not to be rented, used, or otherwise occupied until it's brought into compliance.
We understand that.
Yes, sir. Very good. That it? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Case number 12 is in compliance. Case number 13, Samuel J. Merrill Jr.
Compliance 3-4.
Case number 14, Elias Amir.
He lives in California. I have been in contact with him, and he is working on getting his permit, so I'd like to amend it to the next cutoff.
All right, based on our inspector's report, I will amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent for April 6, 2010 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. What? So I'm giving them until April 6th to pay the $250 administrative fee?
To get the license, the occupational license. He's working on it long distance from California, sending in the application and the fees.
Will be subject to the $250.
So I'm giving them until April 6th, 2010 to pay to obtain the occupational license.
Correct.
Or impose the fine or the $250 fee. Is that what you're doing?
Yes, sir.
Someday I'm going to explain. I'm going to understand this administration. Apparently something is there. Very good. Case number 15, Rosemary Johnson.
Compliance 3-9.
Case number 16, Merrill Properties Incorporated.
Compliance 3-3.
All right, I have case number 17 that's in compliance. Mm-hmm. Case number 18, John E. Hopkins.
Non-compliance. This is the case where the gentleman has passed away and we're waiting to hear maybe from heirs, but it's not gone into foreclosure yet. So we're just $25 a day fine.
Finding a dead guy?
His heirs. The property.
Have the heirs appear in this action?
Pardon?
Have the heirs appear
no.
in this
action?
No. No, so we have the estate or the...
there's a probate case file.
No, the in-ray filing against the property.
So, am I going to read about myself finding a dead guy? All right, well, comes with the territory, I guess. Let's find the dead guy. Okay.
That's not the one we received in. Excuse me, Dr. Lane.
And if I might, Mr. Pekelja, put a cap of $8,000 on it based on the property value. Yeah. We don't want to be too punitive, do we?
Preserving in any way, then they would have obligations of that would be a good exercise. Please, how much more to place the public research and that one.
Okay, is this property occupied at present?
It's vacant and secured.
Vacant?
Is and is secured.
And who's secured?
City did it.
This would be probably, if I may, this would be probably a principal property where we would want to try and take some steps under our vacancy ordinance. The purpose of our ordinance was to deal with properties like this, whether they're abandoned because someone took off or in a situation where someone is deceased and there's no one doing anything about the property, to give notification to the mortgage companies once they file this pendants and give them certain obligations.
Okay. Well, that makes sense to me. Now, what if anything do you need from me to clear the way for you to proceed under this vacancy ordinance that you keep mentioning?
I agree with you 100% with the general concern about expressing and naming a person who we know is deceased. However, I don't know.
I can get over that.
Yeah, but getting past that, I think the gray aspect of it is still there, and it will be appropriate for us just to proceed as, on the case, and we can make a note of that and give those notice and information to the bank board on the
okay, and so what I understand you saying is that notwithstanding that this was Hopkins may not be with us anymore. There are successors and interests to his title. And that's all I'll say on that. All right, and what was the amount of the fine that was suggested or recommended?
$25 a day.
All right, I will go ahead and fine the respondent the sum of $25 per day commencing March 3, 2010 and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance, or the fine reaches the point of $8,000, at which point the fine will stop running. That is without prejudice to the fine continuing to accrue interest, whatever the rate is that the city applies to these. Is that covered?
Yeah, covered. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, case number 19 we've already done. Case number 20, Morris Mack.
Good morning.
Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you have provided, the truth before you, is about the truth?
Yes.
All right, Mr. Mack, you've been cited for unlicensed, inoperable vehicles on property, parked and commercial vehicles on unimproved surfaces, inoperable vehicles considered outside storage. You agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yeah, I got a tractor and I got a pickup, commercial vehicle up. Owned by property, and they excuse me, my truck was parked there, and I explained to them that's why I got the property where I could park. Well, I've been parking my vehicles there for 30 years, John, and I'm by truck. I'm planning on putting it in service. I'm not able to buy another tractor. My trailer is permitted, but I didn't want to permit my truck until I put it on the road. But if I have to get a tag and insurance, it'll take me 3 months to get the money to tag it and insurance, but I still yet won't have a driver for it until about December.
December 2010.
Yes. Uh-huh. Now it'll take me from not this next. I got to pay the taxes this month. 3 months from next month, I'll have the $2,500, that's what it takes to tag it. But now if I tag it, I won't have a driver for it until then. Now I work hard and I raise all my kids on the road. And I bought that property back there where I could park my vehicle. And right now today, that's my trailer, that's my truck. I covered my truck because they said if I covered it, I wanted to be bothered with it. Now my trailer, while you see the trailer there, I got $5,000 worth of tools in that trailer. I wanted to put a shed on my property. They said I couldn't put a shed there. So now if a man gave me a job today that I can use my trailer, I got no place to put my tools. And I work every day. You understand what I'm talking about? That pickup there, that's a 250 Ford pickup. When I have wallabies and stuff left over, I would haul them and peddle them. Okay? My trailer got a compartmental tag on it. My truck tag, the tag of my truck, it'll cost me $1,800, $530 load taxes, $560 for insurance. And I ain't hauled nail piece of freight. And at my age, I won't be able to buy another KW. I moved it from over that side to park it over there to let them know that my truck would run. I hired a man to come out and do body work on it from where it's the fiberglass. He did it and said I couldn't paint it there. So I covered my truck. That truck will run right there. I'll go any place. Now, all I ask, it would take me that long to put a tag on it, and by December, I probably could get a driver.
And then what happens?
Oh, it'd be hauling freight.
But you'd still be storing it there.
That's what I bought the property for. That's commercial property, isn't it? That's what I bought it for.
Okay.
Yes.
What's the situation here, Mr. Inspector?
Well, this case started in May 2009, and prior to that,
that's when I parked it at 2000.
But I came and spoke with you.
I know. I told you about it because I told you. I said, "Hey, I got some more truck coming."
Like since then.
Yeah.
And he's been waiting for a driver. He's been waiting to get the money to come in since May of 2009. So it is March 2010.
Right.
And still in the same place.
No, that truck been moved. Come on with me now, Inspector.
But he's storing it and parking it on that vacant lot.
That's mine. I own that lot. And it's supposed to be commercial property. And I can't park. That's why I told you, I said, I bought this lot where I could park my truck. Shed. Didn't I tell you that?
Right, and I told you still
didn't do that. Well, Your Honor, I'm 75 years old. I worked 30 years on the road trucking. I paid for my rig, and I'm hoping to truck some more. I got that intention. Now, if you give me the time that I ask, I'll tag my truck and hope that I have it on the road by December. Now, that's the best I can say, but now, I'm going to throw away my life work that I did. I work every day. I come in the evening time. He know I started painting my truck, didn't I?
Right.
And then he all said I couldn't do it.
Let me talk for a while.
Okay.
Is this residential zoning or commercial zoning or what?
I believe that particular property is mixed.
So what does that mean as far as its use?
Residential, commercial.
Right. He's not allowed to park that truck?
Well, it's a vacant lot. It's a vacant lot. There's nothing permitted on a vacant lot.
Who owns that lot?
I do.
He owns the lot.
They won't let me put nothing there.
He owns the lot. Vacant lot, how's it zoned?
Excuse me.
Vacant lot, he owns the lot, how is it zoned?
I believe it's mixed use, but I'm double checking.
Mr. Fekelji, under the Land Development Code, Article 1, Section 4 and 5, I believe Mr. Jackson can refer to it. It does not allow the uses for any vacant lot that does not have a primary structure on it for anything, any kind of storage whatsoever, sir.
Boy, I'm doomed. I'm just doomed. I'm doomed. Well, I work every day and I'm doomed. Boy. Whew. I'm doomed. Could have made some money in order to help me, if I could have let some of the backers park there. They said I couldn't do that, so I didn't let them.
Which makes sense when he said he couldn't put a shed up, because without a primary structure, you can't.
I mean, I can't get a shed that you set up. Well, I'm stuck between the devil and the hard rock, and I've been parking there 30 years off of that same property. 30 years I've been parking there. That same property. And I told you, if anybody want to buy that property, find me a piece the same size commercial
we'll trade even. Didn't I tell you that? And nobody seemed to want to help me.
All right, well, first off, do you have any other locations you can keep this truck at?
I have to start looking, because I thought sure by me it's commercial property. See, I'm a working man, and I don't know too much about what's going on in the city. I've been in the city longer. These few, since I parked my truck, I've been in Daytona study. Since I've been here, only kind of my wife was sick. That's why I come off the road. But now I have to, I know this storage place is the park truck, but I can't, with the salary I make, I can't afford to pay nobody to storage my truck. And then it seemed kind of crazy to me. I got property in the city, a little bit.
Chip away at a mountain. You take a mountain down one little piece at a time.
Okay.
Yes, you're between a rock and a hard place.
Yes, okay.
So now let's start focusing on what kind of alternatives we would have to you just having to haul that thing out to God knows where. So my point is, here's what we're going to do.
Okay.
I'm going to, I've already found you in non-compliance.
Uh-huh.
All right, in any event, based on the testimony of the respondent as well as that of the inspector, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. All right, I'm going to give you, I'm going to wait 60 days. I'm going to continue this matter to the April.
Your Honor, I couldn't beat it. It'll take me 3 months to save up $1,500 and I can borrow the rest.
Stop talking.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Stop talking.
All right, I'll be quiet.
All right, I'm going to give you, I want to see you back at the May 11th, 2010 meeting. Okay? May 11th.
May.
With me at 60 days down the road.
May 11th. May.
And I want you to start figuring out what kind of alternatives you can present to me to deal with that truck.
Okay.
So I'm buying you 60 days.
You're buying me 60 days. Okay, if I get it. If I get it moved, do I have to move my whole train?
I'll explain to him.
Yeah.
I don't expect you to figure it all out right now.
All right, sir.
I'm giving you 60 days to try to come up with a solution.
All right, sir.
All right?
Okay.
I understand just moving it overnight would be a hardship, so I'm giving you 60 days to try to figure out.
Okay.
So all I expect you to do by May 11th is come talk to me about what kind of ideas you may have to resolve this.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Unfortunately, the truck's not allowed there. All right. We're not just going to tow it off either.
Okay.
So come May 11th, you come back here and you explain to me what kind of alternatives you think you can come up with so that we can resolve this.
Okay.
All right. So I'll see you on May 11th. And in the meantime, I was still talking to the city.
He said he's going.
Other options that might be available.
Yeah, this gentleman said he's going to talk. And no,
all right. Well, you stay in touch with this gentleman. Because it's going to be important that you communicate with him. Now, the only time, if all of a sudden you disappear and we don't hear from you at all.
Only way I disappear is I crow. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Good luck to you.
All right.
I have to do another case now.
Case number 21, the Joss or Jace Corporation. The city.
This property was cited for exterior walls, chip and paint. No contact, non-compliance, next cutoff.
Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Order the respondent to come into compliance by April 6, 2010, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 22, Minnie L. Long.
Okay, I spoke to the property owner. He's out of town. He lives down south. And he's asking for 60 days in order to obtain the permits and get his inspections and finish up his work. And he said 60 days would be enough. So,
okay, based on
the inspector
and the stipulation with the respondent, I find the respondent being non-compliance. And order the respondent to commit compliance by May 5th, 2010, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 23, Case number 23, Jeffrey H. and Richie M. Ballard.
How come you didn't call me about anything?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you say anything?
Jeff Ballard.
Do you
solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? I do. Yes, sir. Do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Not according to the article and section number stated by Mr. Ellison.
Okay. Mr. Ellison, apparently the respondent is contesting the authority that you've relied upon for noticing him. In violation. So let's say the city.
Well, under Article 17, you can't have a boat or trailer out in front of the residence.
Okay. All right.
Could you read that article and section number?
Excessive one-time capacity from parking to our gathering. No trucks or trailers more four-wheeled or over 10.
The proper site, Ms. McKelvin, is Article 17, Section 2.189. If the point of the respondent is that he's suggesting he doesn't have due process because he doesn't know what the violation is. He's correct that the notice violation does not cite that number, 2.189, and we would be happy to continue to allow him to undergo the compliance, although that's what's going to happen anyway during this time period, that the need to come into compliance, and I don't believe that anything else has changed.
Well, he's put it behind a screening, but the screening is an issue too.
Why is the screening an issue?
I'll talk to you later. It's not a point here today.
Okay.
But the process site would be Article 17, Section 2.189, which is truck and commercial vehicle property. Truck and commercial vehicle parking, and that parking is restricted in all districts, and it's really the same ordinance that was cited in the previous case. Parking of large vehicles or recreational type vehicles when used in for periods of time is outside storage. And it goes on to say no beach concession of the commercial vehicles, wagons or trailers, or no trucks in excess of one ton capacity shall be parked for more than 2 hours on any calendar day or on any private lot except a completely enclosed garage. No trucks or trailers with more than four wheels or 10,000 gross weight shall be parked outside an enclosure on the parking for a period of more than 2 hours on any calendar day, except that trucks and trailers moving household goods shall be allowed to park on private property for a period of not exceed 2 days.
Okay. And what's the respondent's argument?
Well, the way I'm reading this is you're talking about large commercial or recreational vehicles. Neither one of those vehicles are commercial. I would not say that that boat is a large recreational vehicle. I would say that that is probably referring to large motorhomes, things like that. The gross vehicle weight of both of those is less than 10,000 pounds, and neither one of them has more than four wheels and tires. So I do not see how it applies under this section at all.
Okay. Let's say the city, now that you understand the respondent's position.
I understand the respondent's position. I'd like to I disagree that this is a recreational vehicle and it's a trailer.
I tend to agree, but if he wants to argue that this is improper notice or improper citation, then it can be withdrawn and done over. So tell me what the city's position is.
I'll go with that, Mr. Kell, just to save the circumstances. That'll be fine. I dealt with the property owner some time back, and I thought he would have called me, but that's fine. I'll be concerned. We'll make the corrections. It'll be additional submission.
Okay, Mr. Attorney, do we have to, is there any reason why I can't just amend this notice of violation?
No, no reason at all. Amendment would be proper. I think the only issue is the issue of allowing him the time based upon if he's raising an issue of whether or not he had adequate notice of what he was a violation of.
Well, the notice of violation just provides just that, notice of the violation. It doesn't impose a compliance date or time. That doesn't correct. Happen until it comes back before me.
Okay.
So if I were to amend this notice of violation to read Article 17, Section 2.189, is that the provision the city would be relying upon when we rehear this matter?
Yes, it is, sir.
Okay.
And I believe you're right, Mr. McKell. The ultimate question is just allowing them a reasonable amount of time. Now this before
so
you.
Now that we're changing the notice of violation to read a different provision, then as far as his rights are concerned, between now and the next meeting, he's got plenty of notice to know what he's confronting. Yep. And can prepare accordingly.
I agree.
I have one more quick question.
Sure.
Italics or whatever you want to call the font in the print. It says parking restricted in all districts, and then it goes in to describe these vehicles. Does that mean we're going to shut down U-Haul, UPS, FedEx? Because it says all districts, every single one of those trucks and trailers and everything is restricted. You cannot have them on their property.
That's the way the ordinance is applied, and I'm not prepared to tell you that that's true or not.
I mean, the gentleman that appeared before me has got the same situation.
He's got what same situation?
Well, he's got a commercial vehicle, and based on this, it's not supposed to be there, but are you singling us out as residents or small people and not the businesses that fall under the same ordinance?
Okay, well, I'm not singling anybody out for anything. You asked a question as far as whether or not you fell within Article 17, Section 2, and suggested that the city had relied upon the wrong provision. Okay, so that having been said, the city is now advised as to the proper provision that it would rely upon. And that being the case, then I'm now granting the city's request for leave to amend the notice of violation to read Article 17, Section 2.189. With that, you are on notice as far as the exact provision that the city is relying upon. And we'll continue this matter to give you ample opportunity to prepare accordingly, now that the notice of violation has been changed, to give you ample opportunity to prepare. So we will continue the hearing of the noncompliance as well as any proposed compliance dates at our next meeting, which will be on April 13, 2010. And I just need to clarify, I want you to be certain, I want you to make sure you understand, as I understand it, the provision that you're now relying upon is Article 17, Section 2.189. So even though the violation doesn't include that, I'm notifying you of that. And then at that time, you can make all the arguments you want as far as being singled out, excluded, inclusion, whatever you want.
So you're saying I do fall under this article?
I'm not saying a thing. I'm saying you questioned whether he cited the right provision. He said he may not have. He's now provided you the provision, and you are going to argue it next time you meet.
So when I come back next time, we're still going to be dealing with Article 17, Section 2.189? Is that what?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Guess I'm confused on that, but I got your number. So when do I have to be back?
It'll be April 13, 2010. Case number 24, Palm Beach Home Buyers, LLC.
Compliance 22810.
You did tell me, but I also read in here where it said whether you're in compliance or not.
I told him. I called him.
I do have a question while I'm here. Is there a disc or something that I can get to know what these...
Uni.com.
What is it?
On the computer, uni.com.
Uni?
Unicode.com.
Unicode.com.
And then you find your state, your jurisdiction.
Okay.
Online library.
Okay. Because just like the last one, there's a lot of things there that you're really not sure whether you're in compliance or not. And it's hard to always know what to do. Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, 228.
Case number 25, James G. Frost.
Good morning. Matthew Cecil. I'm here on behalf of James Frost. C-E-C-I-L. I do.
Okay, I'm sorry, what's your name again?
Matthew Cecil. I'm here on behalf of James Frost. I'm the current...
Of
James Frost, yes. I'm the current tenant at the house. And that was my vehicle.
Mr. Frost's authority to speak on his behalf here today?
Yes, well, I contacted Mark yesterday and okayed it because I could not get in contact with my landlord. They live over in Clearwater, and it's a process to get a hold of them.
Okay. All right. Do you agree these violations existed or occurred as soon as the notice of violation?
I do.
All right. I will find the respondent that he had non-compliance. Does Mr. Frost know with this notice of violation?
Not yet. He does not.
Okay.
I usually deal with his son, and then I call, and then I've left message, and I'm awaiting a call back. But I've already complied with the situation. Yesterday I had it towed out. I cleared out all the weeds that were growing on the side there. So
well,
it's
that's great. I just, you know, I don't want a number popping up and saying I didn't know nothing from nothing.
Yeah, I know that. No, I'm definitely trying to, you know, I have no reason.
Mr. Frost has a history of not getting in touch with us for a lot of different cases, beat sign in the side, and I've had to do nothing but postage on the property because of this. But he's told me he's in compliance. I just got to do a reinspection. We want to proceed and be non-compliant, so that's cut off, and I'll go back tomorrow next
year. And just, if I can, just from clarification of the record, it's not our desire to see him as standing as representative of the owner, but as one who is testifying with personal knowledge as a witness of the events, and we believe that would support the finding of our compliance. Who is testifying?
Correct. Did I finally respond to non-compliance? Okay. So anyway, you tell me work's already done.
Yes, it is.
You just need Mr. Ellis to come out and take a look at it.
Sure do, that's it.
Then I will allow the respondent until April 6, 2010 to come into compliance. Failing that, the respondent may be fined up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay, make your arrangements with Mr. Allison so we can go out there and take a look at things. And with that, he'll file a notice of compliance and that'll be it.
Okay, now do I need to be there by any chance? You'll just come by?
Okay.
Thank you very much, guys.
Case number 26, J.J. Curtis.
Morning.
Morning.
Say your name, please.
J. Curtis, 326 Hobart Avenue.
Raise your right hand, please. Do you tell me swear that the testimony about the device, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay, Mr. Curtis, do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, sir.
All right, I find the respondent to be in noncompliance. Mr. Inspector, how long will it take to commit to compliance?
Thanks, Joe.
Mr. Hobart, how much time do you need to come to compliance?
Well, sir, that's quite all right. You're not the first one that's done that. Well, that's the issue for me. Unfortunately, with the economic downturn, I've gone from making $50,000 a year to $16,000. Last year, I spent $10,000 paying the mortgage. After two floods in the house, one due to mechanical defect and one due to natural causes, I spent another $4,000 on materials to renovate the house, which leaves me a total of $2,000 to sustain myself for the year. Now, there's a lien on the vehicle, so I can't get rid of it.
And obviously,
there's a lien on it. It's used as collateral for a personal loan. Okay. So therefore, I can't
just... You don't drive this car?
No, sir. At this time, I'm unlicensed.
Okay. Tigers Park, 2008.
And what does it take to make compliance for a tag?
No, sir. It has to be both drivable and a current tag.
Is it drivable?
It is. It runs.
So drivable and current tech.
I mean, it's not sitting on flats. It's not busted windows and that sort of thing.
I'm not sure if you can get a tag on it with having his license and his status right now.
Is it suspended or?
Yes, sir. I had a brand new Ford Ranger. I was unemployed during 08, so the insurance lapsed and I got into an auto accident. There's $12,000 in damages that are to be paid prior to me getting my license back.
Is this a car that's parked on the premises?
Yes, sir.
And but for the tag,
and is it
legally parked?
Yes, sir. But for the tag, it's legally parked. There's 2.8 differences.
He can't get a tag because he can't get a license. Am I hearing that correctly?
Correct.
I'm not positive, but I believe that's some of the new statutes. I mean, Tony has them.
I mean, since I've been in the home, I've spent... You know, I have pictures. I've fixed up the yard. I've trimmed all the trees back, even though I only own palm trees.
Don't keep talking. You're not even here for that.
This is two doors down from the other truck.
Two doors down from what?
From the gentleman that was just here, who is in compliance.
The boat?
No, the car. The gentleman you just saw. There's also seven homes in our neighborhood that are either boarded up or condemned and have been for years.
She's not deceased.
Okay, so he says the car is operational, but it doesn't have a current tag. So he wanted to get a current tag, but he can't get a current tag because his license has been suspended.
Correct.
So because his license is suspended, we're supposed to tell him to do what with the car that's legally parked but for the absence of the tag?
Inside of the enclosure.
Do you guys come up with these things just to bring them in here and put gray hair on my head?
The difficult thing here, Mr. McKelvin, is...
Oh, and by the way, I forgot to add, and he can't get rid of the vehicle because he's got a lien on it. Unless, I guess, he was just going to ask him to repossess it.
That's not my intention.
Well, pretty much everything else.
So the easiest solution for you is actually to turn deadbeat, not pay on the car, and let him repossess it.
Or stand here and get fines because I can't get registered.
Only in America.
I mean, I'm certainly...
I don't mean to be sarcastic.
It's all right, because I'm...
I don't have a solution, but, I mean, everything you've said matches the definition of a car being stored. It's being stored. He's not able to drive. He can't lawfully drive. He can't... It may be operational, but it's not... He can't drive it. No one else can drive it because it doesn't have a tag. So it can't be...
What is wrong with somebody storing the car in a legal parking place?
Well, I think we included somewhere we find that it's being outside storage. And I mean, not that I have a better solution. The better solution is, okay, if you left having the store, just like you would if it was a boat or something else, you have to go take it to a storage location, which obviously costs money. So I understand the dilemma. I'm not trying to belittle the dilemma. I recognize the bullying. I'm not even trying to argue for anything more than just trying to bring some clarity. I don't have a solution.
Okay. All silliness aside, when do you expect to have a license?
Sir, making $16,000 a year and spending 10 on my mortgage, it's unlikely recent in the near future that it'll be handled. I can't, you know, right at this moment, I'm looking for a second job, but currently...
What is the obstacle that keeps you from getting a license?
The $12,000 I need to pay in order to get my license back.
Pay to whom?
For the damages to the other two vehicles I had gotten in an accident with my other vehicle.
I think we get some type of insurance thing or something like that. No,
but there may be a clarification. He may be able to go down and get attempted to apply to get your registration.
I was told that I either have to pay the damages or give the state the cash.
That's from the tax office.
Correct.
They won't give you
until I either give them either pay the $12,000 or give the state $12,000 to hold. Is basically what the letter from the DMV said.
I just want to make it clear that I may not have been correct, is that you can't get it at all. I'm just saying there must be some hold up with this case. It would have to be moved into an enclosure to be remain on the property. Unfortunately, he does not have an enclosure.
And what about covering it?
Covering it, it's still stored outside.
Okay, well, I guess we're chalking this one up to how you can't buck City Hall, because I can't even conjure up a solution if what you're telling me is you're not even going to be able to get a driver's license until you pay $12,000. You don't have the $12,000.
No, sir.
And without a driver's license, you're not going to get a registration.
Correct.
Without a registration, it's a junk vehicle, whether you like to call it that or not, because in the ordinances, that's the definition of junk vehicle. Okay. So, all that having been said, you're going to have to find another place to store this thing. And I shouldn't say unfortunately. I can't think of any alternatives myself. So, I guess I'll leave that up to you. How much time will it take you to come to compliance? In other words, how much time is it going to take you to figure out where to keep this vehicle other than there?
At least 30 days. I mean, again, I got to pay for storage and really don't have the means to do that.
Well, and I'm really trying not to sound callous. You're just going to have to figure it out. Okay. All right, I'm going to order the respondent to come to compliance by April 6, 2010, or be returned to special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number 27, M&M Holdings Incorporated.
They won't be here. I've talked to the owner. Non-compliance, next cutoff.
All right. Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance and order the respondent to be in compliance by April 6, 2010, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day thereafter.
I would like to be in the record, though, that he did call me, and I told him he could show up if he wanted to, but you're going to give him, as we just talked about, and he did offer.
The record reflect that the respondent was in communication with our inspector and they discussed what would be transpiring at the meeting. Case number 28, Carl V. and Georgia E. Tripp.
Non-compliance, next cutoff.
Based on the inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance, order the respondent to commit to compliance by April 6, 2010, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 29, Gloria Stoutinger.
Non-compliance, next cutoff.
Based on the report of our inspector, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance, or the respondent to commit to compliance by April 6, 2010, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 30, Charnette B. Bullock.
Or
would say the city?
Non-compliance, next cutoff.
Based on the report of our inspector, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Order the respondent to come into compliance by April 6, 2010, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 31, Barry and Penny Thompson.
Mr. Kelger, they said that they could not be here today and that they were asking for 60 days. I would like to say that the city would not be in that position. This is for a fence that was non-permitted, non-conforming. They have not been in touch with me as they promised they would be and have basically not taken it down. They're waiting for the house to go into foreclosure, the occupants, who are also Barry and Penny Compton, who for some reason there's more people on there and they're going to rebuy it back or something. But they're not taking the fence down, waiting for that to happen. Again, this is property's been cited for several things. I believe it still has a running fine for something, if I'm not mistaken. But long story short, non-compliance, next cutoff.
Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. In order the respondent to commit to compliance by April 6, 2010, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Ella K. Wellington.
This appears to be an abandoned house. It's something they've walked away from. When the barber pulls the pictures up, you'll see it's a non-compliance, next cutoff, no contact.
Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. In order the respondent to commit to compliance by April 6, 2010, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. We have already done case 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, and 39. Now, I have a couple of questions. I have a question regarding case number 11. Well, I can't remember what it was. It was the minister that showed up with Shawanda, Denise Williams.
Something about him not being sworn?
No. And I think he meant to say affirm as opposed to confirm. But in any event.
Now I'm prepared if that happens
again.
I was kind of
put
it off there for a second.
But I can't remember what it was. But let me move on to the other things. Does our ordinance that one of these gentlemen's contestants specifically mention votes?
No. It does under, in the definitions, interestingly, heavy vehicle. But the recreational vehicle does have a definition reference to the Florida Statute 3.01. I don't know what's there in that particular. But it does, it mentions both boats and heavy and light vehicles, which the language in the ordinance is not heavy or light, something else.
10,000 gross weight, so on and so forth.
No, it's a different thing.
Oh, the definition.
17,189.
But
they use the term instead, large and small, large commercial instead of heavy. So, unless, you know, express heavy vehicle, then
he's not considering his boat to be commercial. He's considering it to be a recreational vehicle.
Yes.
And then he's saying that under recreational vehicle, it doesn't say boat. So he's assuming recreational vehicle means an RV.
Yes, that's exactly what he said.
And under heavy and light, recreational vehicle doesn't. But there is a recreational vehicle definition that cites to the Florida statute. And as I said, I don't know what's there, 3.01
definition. Yeah, in the definitions. Of course, he makes a pretty good point in all districts. I give him that.
Well, okay, what am I looking at? Recreational vehicles, or?
Yes, it's a recreational. Recreational vehicle as defined in 3.01, so there should be those definitions.
Okay.
Well, probably.
Well, I mean,
I've abbreviated before.
I understand you wanted to find.
Won't do it again.
Well, I feel right of knowing
right
what to defend against. You know, if you don't say it, then you got to be able to know what to defend against.
I don't have anything specific
Well,
for recreational vehicles.
That's what they put in here.
I'm looking.
Anyway,
we'll
figure it out. Barbara, it's the same one you do, right?
Yeah. I mean, we've all done
recreational type unit primarily designed as temporary living quarters for recreational camping or travel use, which either has its own motive power or is mounted on or drawn by another vehicle. Recreational vehicle type units when traveling on the public roadways of this state must comply with the length and width provisions of 3165.
Well, that's some bad signings. Go fix them. I'll have to take a look.
I don't know. An automobile looks like a truck. Want to avoid people wreaking havoc over boats. You might, if need be, somebody
on Halifax.
I mean,
I'm not complaining.
I'll take a look.
Take a look, see if you find us a better one.
And then I just have a question. On March 11th, there's going to be a meeting of the Historic Redevelopment something or other for Seabreeze. Are any of you aware of that? It's something about a historic board or redevelopment meeting on March 11th, I guess, where they talk about areas north and south of Seabreeze that they are considering
designated as redevelopment.
I wonder who's doing that. Would that be the...
That would be Burger.
Well, I don't know. Where's the redevelopment
line? Well, that's where they want to establish it.
The workshop is for the Kelsey Seabreeze Local Historic District Workshop. March 11th at 6 p.m., conference room 149B.
I think that's in the redevelopment office. No, that's downstairs. That's the new one downstairs.
149B.
I think it's right below us.
6 p.m., Seabreeze Local Historic District Workshop.
I mean, what's this? If your area is categorized a historic area, what's the ramifications of that?
Mr. Keller, from what I understand of that meeting process from one of our commissioners was the Seabreeze Business District was exempted from it because they don't want to comply to all the rules and regulations involved in a historical district process. Each building would take much longer. They have to go to boards, and they have to get... They just didn't want to be involved. So this is
for preservation approval.
Everything has to be approved. Painting. Everything.
You have to use certain materials or certain...
Correct.
There.
Keep it the way it is and paint it.
Right.
All of them.
And so the historic, the Seabreeze Business District is included in that or is not?
No, it's separate. That was the holdup for the whole process was separating the Seabreeze Business District from the historical district designation.
And so the Seabreeze Business District is not included?
Correct.
And how does one find out whether or not their property is within that?
Well, that's where I think they're working on the boundary lines and the property lines and all that kind of stuff.
So they're talking about those boundary lines at this meeting?
I'm not sure. I'm not privy to that. I haven't checked.
All right.
That was the commission meeting.
I thought it stopped at university. I thought it did.
Who's the staff?
I'm not worried about university. I'm just wondering about how far off Seabreeze this Seabreeze business.
Is it Reed?
Extends to, for example, one peninsula. As you head south of Seabreeze, there's probably six businesses that I can think of before you get to what's the next major road going through?
Oakridge.
Yeah, so between Seabreeze and Oakridge, there's probably about six businesses I can think of. And so I was wondering how far off of Seabreeze this business district extends.
I'm not sure.
Well, the Main Street stops at Oakridge. The Main Street development.
Terry would probably. I think he's still doing the historic presentation. Is he Terry Lathan?
Terry Lathan.
He's right in our office, 671-8040.
671-8040.
Or Miss Tolley, maybe? Gene Tolley?
I'm not sure. But the 120 was under community development. I don't know if it's under community development or redevelopment. I'm not sure. Back when I was over here, was under community development. It's been a while.
Okay. All right. Great job, guys. Thank you very much. Good work, Jeremy.